This is going to be scary because he has some stories on me that I hope he doesn't share. And I know he has stories on you that I can't wait to hear.
And, you know, when I came in, the jailhouse, the bottom floor had bars on it.
Wait. For all the viewers, the jailhouse is not a jailhouse. That's what we call the tech school for security forces. Yeah.
And those are things that I think really need to be focused on, is that trust and communication. At the end of the day, the first thing that we had was a foundation of standards and discipline.
I keep telling y'all this. I didn't learn as much as I learned about being a defendant until I got to Haiti.
Yo.
What up, man? What am I saying?
Oh, the mic's on? The mic working? Oh. All right. Hey, this is going to be a good episode like already.
78 huh? updates it needed, man. My laptop was like outdated like crazy, man.
Get yourself together, man.
That's why I was all jacked up last time.
Yeah. What's up with you, though?
Hey, man. Work. And then a little bit more work. A little bit more work.
You got some rest time, though, right? Some R&R, some recuperation.
What you mean?
You got some good off time, though. You ain't just working. It's been 2 weeks.
I mean, we off on the weekend.
Okay. That's what's up. What's up, everybody in the building, man? If y'all can give us a shout out, man, let us know how we sound, man. I really appreciate it. I'm actually trying a new setting out, so if somebody can hit us up on there so I can make sure I can read it, that'd be love. I would appreciate that. But if not,
put your disclaimer out there.
Fudge, look at you, man. You're getting in early. All right, hold on.
Got my orange juice, vitamin C. You know what I'm saying? got my energy drink, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey, I don't know why this cuts off, but y'all get the gist of it. Anything that comes from unpopular celebrities is all unofficial. It is done in the capacity of Pete and Mike, not as a military member. None of the views of us or any of our guests have anything to do with Department of Defense.
Right.
Boom. All right. I don't know if it shows the whole thing or not. Yeah, got that out the way early. All right, bro. This is a serious episode, bro. We have done a lot of episodes. I think we damn sure over 50. We might be at 60, but I can't keep track. But anyway, this is the first one, I think, that we have had a guest on here that supervised both of us.
True. Yeah.
This is going to be scary because he has some stories on me that I hope he doesn't share. And I know he has stories on you that I can't wait to hear.
Ain't got no stories on me.
All right, man.
Ain't got nothing on me, man.
But without further ado, go ahead.
They don't heard us talk about this dude a lot, man. And not only supervise, mentor, you know what I'm saying? Life coach, sanity check, you know what I mean? And everything that we get up here and we talk about every week or every week that we stream anyway. That a leader should embody. You know what I mean? Is this dude, you know, you already know how I feel about him. Brother to me, you know, like you said, supervisor, mentor, life coach, all of that wrapped up in one, man. So they done heard us talk about him enough. It's about time we introduce him to the people that don't know him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and let you do your thing.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, retired senior master sergeant,
JCH,
Jason Holloman, if we can get it. Wait. Oh, no. Oh, there you go. Yo,
JCH.
Get the Pat McAfee clap.
What's up, bro?
Oh, whoa, hey, we can't hear you. Oh, there hey, you go. You know, no, you're good. You're good.
Don't freak him out, man.
We practice this, Pete.
Don't freak him out, man.
Hey, we you know, long-time listener, first-time caller.
What's up with you?
Hey, I like that.
What's up with you,
What's
man?
Hey. Living life, man. Retired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm happy or sad about that one, but all right.
Hey, I'm happy. Yeah. Hey, you'll know what you think. When you get there. Yeah. You'll know. You'll know. You'll feel better.
Yeah. Everybody so say you go. You like when it's time. You'll know. You'll definitely know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Nothing, man. I'm chilling. You know, just living that dad life. Working as a contractor in Dayton, Ohio at Wright Pat. I work with the government on Wright Pat doing civilian stuff. Just living a different life, you know.
Civilian stuff. I don't know if I would have known JCH a civilian. I don't know.
Hey, never thought I'd see that.
Don't get it twisted. Now, I mean, you see the high and tight.
Yeah.
That still walking the building, and you know they know, like, hey, whoa, what's up with this dude? Like, because I work, man, where I work is so many civilians, right? And there's very little military, but there's a lot of retired military, and then there's just a lot of straight civilians, and you just don't know what someone's background is, but they know, man. You know they know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. That's what's up, man.
It's all good, man. Yeah, I'm living a good life right now.
Yeah. I can't wait to get started and hear your story, because I don't know too much about the beginning. I know about the, you know, towards the middle and the end. Well, probably closer towards the end than the beginning. So I can't wait to hear a lot of stories, you know, and everything about how your upbringing was and what got you into the military. But the first thing I want to cover, you got a big flag back there that I want to talk about.
Oh, man.
I'm wearing my shirt. Man, y'all can't.
Oh, see. Yeah, no, we can see it. Hey, how are you feeling? Are you okay? Like, is everything all right, man, on Sundays? Or Sundays is like a depressing day now.
Hey, it's, you know, I'm it's emotional. there's new feelings that I've never felt in my life that I've been dealing with this year. It just doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
Y'all both know I ain't a big, you know, football follower. Now, y'all both know that. I ain't never seen nobody follow a team like this dude, man.
Hey.
Never. Like, bro, and I'm going to tell you, like, his kids are my nieces and my nephews. That's where we at with it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Bro, Jay posts pictures. He got Sophia with the Bronco glasses on. They got towels. I'm like, bro, like, what? Why you tainting me? Why you tainting me?
Hey, they love it. You know, they
love it.
They do, bro. They do.
They love it.
They ain't gonna lie.
Oh, they love it. Okay.
Like him. Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Mike, they gave this dude Russell Wilson about 8 bags to carry around to come play with him. Maybe 10 and a truck. And that dude thrown 2 more touchdown passes than you have.
Yeah.
And I ain't never been a quarterback in my life.
Hey, I mean, just hurt status. I feel bad for it. Every time I see him come on, and last time I think I saw him was either Thursday night or Monday night when there was like no touchdown scored. And I was like, man, I know Jay down there sick right now. Hey. I know he's sick.
Hey, man, the sun's shining, you're on the beach, but it's snow. And you're like, what the F? Right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I hope you still got access to MFLAC. So just in case you need to go, need to holler at him Monday.
It might be there. It might be there soon. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. This season might be a goner. Might be teeing for next year. But nah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's good. That's good. Like you said, I never met a Broncos fan, especially one that repped so hard for him. Yeah.
Like this dude.
He's like, yeah. But so, Jay, I need to know, what the hell got you going into the military? Why did you even start? What made you come into the United States Air Force?
Well, that was my dad. My dad was active duty, and I just wanted to follow in his footsteps. I love, as cheesy as it sounds, I love our country. I'm very proud for our country. And to me, at that age, the best thing you could do to serve your country was go in the military. And, you know, that's what I wanted to do.
Man, that's awesome. Where are you from originally?
So originally I was born in Denver, and I lived there for about 4 years. And that's where all my mom's family's from. But then, you know, my dad took us just on a military journey. We lived in Japan as a kid. As a kid, I lived at Yokota. I lived in the tower right next to the NCO club on main base from like third grade to, or I'm sorry, from like 4 to 3rd grade, and then I moved to Florida, and we stayed in Florida until I joined the military.
So straight military brat.
Yeah.
Bro, can you always tell?
Yeah, I was about to say, did you always rock the high and tight?
Nah.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I had a time like my senior year where I had it shaved on the sides, but I had like this long thing going on. You know what I'm saying? I thought I was cool. I look back now, and I'm like, man, what the fuck was I doing?
No, we all. No, well, Mike had the same haircut since he was born, so hey, the rest of us, all do.
Oh, we roast. That's what we do. Say less.
Hey. That's my only last one.
Like, then when I met him, he had a damn near bald head like me.
Yeah, man. So it's funny. You know, I used to shave my head bald because I didn't like having to get a lot of haircuts, and I just like to keep it clean. And my beret sat on my head just right. You know what I'm saying? With a bald head, it just looked good. And then it's so crazy. Because, Mike, you remember when we did that Defender Challenge?
Yep.
And they took a photo of me and Barres was doing the Humvee pull. Yep. And the top of my head, you could see I was thinning. And I had never seen my head like that before. And so I had asked Sammy, I was like, hey, am I going bald? And she's like, yeah, you didn't know? Like, no, I didn't know. And I was like, man, I need to grow this shit out while I can. And so I just switched it up because I was scared to lose it.
Complete switch.
And now I'm growing hair, and Sophia reminds me often, like, Dad, it's time to let it go. You know?
Just join the club, man. Just join the club. Stop playing around.
Nah, don't do it.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to it for a little bit longer.
It's almost time for Pete, too.
I owe you one roast.
I owe you one roast.
Jay, don't do that. Don't do that. We go back way too far for that.
I owe you one roast.
Used to be here.
Yeah, and his hairline.
He made me unplug my damn ass.
And his hairline doing the moonwalk right now.
Hey, that's LeBron got it. Kobe had it. I got it. Hey, everybody gets it, man. You would never know. But we all get it.
When you look, man, just go ahead and join the club, man. You get more oxygen to your brain. Makes you think better.
I need that.
Yeah. Hey, but nah, seriously though, man. Like, bro, you know how me and this cat, you know, we always give you your flowers, as they say, man, you know, for the impact that you had on our careers in life, bro. But like P said, start at the beginning. Like we start talking about the discipline and the structure and stuff. Like where was that? Like you said, you started from watching your dad. That was your thing to do. But how did you come about that? Why was that your personality in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a pretty strict household. I mean, Mike, you met my parents. They good people, but they enforce standards. You know, my mom more so than my dad. My mom didn't play at all, and so she just really set a strong baseline of respect and discipline. And then a lot of stuff I realized later in life, especially when I was probably like my first 2 or 3 years in the military, things that my dad was teaching me without me knowing. You know what I'm saying? Like just life talks we would have or just some of our interactions where stuff would start to click that I realized later on, like, oh shit, you know, this is really something I learned from my dad. And I'm just it's being reinforced through maybe an NCO or a peer of mine that is giving me some life stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yo, did you always want to be a defender? Cause you like the ultimate defender. You was like, when I met you, it was like, this is what, when they have the term defender, is like, this is what you're supposed to be.
What it means.
Like, yeah. Everything physically, mentally, emotionally, spirit, all the four pillars, everything is like this. When you see him, I cannot imagine him with anything but a beret. I know you took it off of the diamond. We'll talk about that. But I could imagine you anything but a beret.
No, man. I mean, to be honest, you know, I had my run-ins with the law and I didn't care too much for that type of stuff. And I came in open general. And, you know, a lot of people say when you come open general, you're going to be a cop. Well, I didn't think that. I thought I'd be like a firefighter or something else. You know, yeah. I just didn't care. I just wanted to join when I could at the time that I did. And when I was told I was going to be a cop, I didn't even think anything of it, really. It was just kind of like, OK, I don't care. I'm trying to get through this week of stuff, you know, in basic. Yeah. But I tell you what, man, and as crazy as it sounds, the second I walked through the gates of the jailhouse, and, you know, when I came in, the jailhouse, the bottom floor had bars on it.
Wait. For all the viewers, the jailhouse is not a jailhouse. That's what we call the tech school for security forces. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, well, make sure we specific on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, when I walked through the gates and just the way things were, you know, and it wasn't fun. It wasn't exciting, but it was that discipline that I knew I needed. And I fell in love with it, man. From the, you know, Air Base Ground Defense Tech School with my tech school instructors, I just fell in love with it. And, you know, that carried on throughout my time.
Yeah.
And it was a true thing. Like I genuinely enjoyed what our job is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What we do, I just really enjoy it. And I enjoy the people and the discipline that comes with it.
Man, I could honestly tell, like when we first met, I could tell off the jump that's how it was. And that's how you were going to be. And you could see the discipline on you. You could, it was in the air. It was around you at all times. You could always sense it. And the funny part was, it was not like a dictatorship type of thing, discipline.
Nah,
it was just like you wanted everybody to be right around you, which is, you know, some people have that kind of dictatorship and you can plug in the names where you want. But they have that discipline where they're going to force it out of you. Yours was really kind of like earned. Like you almost did it by showing by example. Other people just want other people to be disciplined. They want to run amok.
It was a sense of pride in my way. Like this, the pride. I remember the first time I ran into this dude, man. I was, he might not remember. He was up in plans and programs working the five.
Yeah.
And, I think I was in processing the squadron, right? And I walk in now. I probably was in the wrong office. They told me to go somewhere to get my paper signed off or something. I walk in the wrong office. That's, you know, as soon as I walk in, he like, what you need, defender? I'm like, oh, shit, look, bro, it's early in the morning. Like, it's early in the morning. I just want to get my checklist signed off so I can get about my business. You know what I'm saying? But nah. You right though, you know what I'm saying? Just meeting you off the rip, man. Like that defender came out from the rip. Like that's just who he was. But I knew then, like, man, that dude, all right, you know, like me, I'm gonna holler at him. He liked this stuff a little too much though, right? So, because it took us about a year and a half till we linked up, I think.
Yeah,
between deploying and TDY and all that other stuff. But you ain't lie, Pete. That man had defender in his blood, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I had a lot of good examples, and some of that, you know, just stemmed from stuff from my father. But my first experiences with NCOs, throughout my entire career, but the foundation of NCOs I had were just so great and just strong. And they, a lot of the things that I did were things that they did to me. You know what I'm saying? Like they enforced discipline, but they were human. They maintained the standard, but you could break bread with them and you could joke with them. You know what I'm saying? But you knew when it was time to defend, then that's what you did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just tried to mimic those types of things.
Yeah.
Tell me your first base and who was the first supervisor that you remember, either good or bad?
Yeah. So my first base was Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Arizona.
Okay.
My first supervisor was a dude named Sean Fiesel. He's actually a fire dispatcher at Luke now.
No bullshit. Dude. I mean, no. That's crazy. Yeah, we know him well. Yeah, we know him really well.
That was my very first supervisor. Great dude. Didn't play with me, but also understood and taught me to have patience with people as far as where they're from, right? Or that they're not the same as you. Because if y'all have seen him, he don't look like me, and we don't have the same background.
Yeah.
But when I tell you that dude embraced me and any of his troops as if we were his own, he did that. He taught us right. You know, he made us know our job, not know a test. He made us enforce stuff. Whether it was a standard on post or with our peers, like he just did so many great things as a supervisor. But it was kind of a tag team effort between him and my first squad leader, who's also a retired dude. He lives in Phoenix, named Richard. We call him the Rock Olson. Fucking hell of a dude, man. Just a good human being. But he was one of those hard grinders, had a couple bumps in his career, and, you know, got in a little trouble here and there. But when it came down to business, he was a good human being. He was passionate about the job and passionate about people. And those two dudes were really the base of, you know, my airmanship, if you will, when I first came in.
Hold on. I got two announcements I got to make, and I hate to cut this off like this. But first of all, Chief Simmons, thank you for coming in here. Your coat is finest, of course. Mike, I know you don't know who this man is, but I don't know if y'all know who this is, but General Sherman just replied in and said that's the best kind of training. He just made one star. He's a cop as well and just made one star. So, man, super congratulations to you, sir. We work for you as a colonel. Super congratulations. Thank you for coming, General. Thanks for tuning in. But, man, that's you know what? That's crazy that you know, we all remember kind of our first supervisor. And Mike, you know, Chief Counsel was my first supervisor. Right after him, I had a bum of a bum supervisor. And this dude's name was Sergeant Johnson. I don't know if you remember him, but he was working in the armory. I don't give a damn. He was a bum.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. So, exactly. Bum. So, and I was, man, hurting. And I tell you, I was working in the armory, and the armory back door bumped up against the training door, and that's where Sarge Holloman was at, man. And bro, it was crazy. Like, you could hear the stuff coming off of that door. And it's just like, I want to be involved in that. I didn't know what was going on. I was a young, dumb airman. And I was like, I just want to be involved. I got so many stories about this man, how he helped me out. And he probably doesn't even know the things that he has done for me. But we'll share some as we go along. I can't wait to hear the stories about Mike. And please don't share nothing about me as an airman.
Yeah, I
got no stories. Yeah, that's a lot.
To be honest with you, man, like, I didn't have my first real...
I think you're chopping out. You got that Osan internet. I'm glad it's going down for you because it killed me last time. But just came back on. We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Did I go out?
Yeah, you did. Start from the beginning.
No, I see it cutting. I don't know what's...
Oh, yep. There you go. Well, we're just going to have a conversation with us and just going to forget about Mike. But so right from Davis-Monthan, where did you go after that?
So I went to Kunsan from there, Wolfpack.
Okay.
And when I first got to Kunsan, that was when I became an NCO, a supervisor. I'd made staff right before I left DM, but sewed on at Kunsan. And I had a tech sergeant, flight chief, squad leader, supervisor, dude named Russell Leatherman. And this dude just carried on those things that I had learned from my previous supervisors. At DM, you know, some of that discipline, but being a human, you know, being a real person, but enforcing standards and holding people accountable. You know what I mean? But that was where I met my first bad supervisor that was like my supervisor. Mm-hmm. And this dude retired, I think, that same year or maybe within a year after. But he was just garbage, you know, just a poor senior NCO. Not a good human being, just that toxic, really mm-hmm. ignorant, just stuff. Yeah. And I used to talk cause that dude, Russell Leatherman left our flight and went to a back office job. And I used to reach out to him often and just be like, hey, I'm struggling with this thing with this dude, you know, what do I do? And a lot of his advice would just be the simplest thing of, hey, do you be an NCO? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As long as you're being an NCO and you're following those NCO standards, that NCO creed or the little brown book, you can't go wrong. So let them be that jerk or whatever and just NCO harder. You know what I mean? Be Man. More hood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Definitely.
And so that was one of those things that I tried to carry on as I progressed from there. Whenever I had a bad supervisor or shitty leadership, I just NCO'd harder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
NCO harder. Hey, I'm back. Just in case y'all needed to know, y'all needed me to say that. I'm back. All right.
Yeah, you're good to go now. You went ahead and charged up your internet. Go ahead.
Hey, nah. Hey, it's 2.0 for a reason, man. You know how it is.
100%.
I don't know what went on. I had to turn it off, turn it back on. You know, but I'm good now.
Okay.
Anyway. Well,
but you had a thought. If you remember, go ahead.
Oh, what I was saying is, he was talking about NCOs and supervisors. What I was saying is, when I met you, Jay, I had, I think I was in already 5.5 years coming up on 6, with 5.5 years with staff sergeant, right? And I hadn't had my first real supervisor until I met this dude. Mm. Like, honestly, you know what I mean? And I don't know if we had that conversation, Jay, but that was the truth.
We did.
You know what I'm saying?
We did. And, you know, I remember talking on the flight line of Suda Bay. And, you know, I just think things like that are unfortunate. And it really breaks my heart to hear, because here I was this dude that always had just strong leaders around me. And then there's so many people that don't, you know, and that bothers me when I do hear it. And I see it and I saw it. You know, I saw it when I was an NCO. And I saw certain peers of mine that didn't take care of business. And then I saw it as a senior NCO, you know, when I was leading supervisors. And it's really shitty to hear that. But I'm glad I could have been a part of the good in your life. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm thankful for that.
Man,
everything happens for a reason. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah. In both our lives, and you know what's funny, and I don't think I ever told you this, I don't know how much you remember, so I'll try not to tell the whole story. But Mike, I was going, a position opened up in training. It was the unit scheduler. And I wanted to take that job like bad. And so what I was doing was I would work a midnight shift. I was working midnight in the armory, and I would come out during the day and I work training during the day. Bruh, talk about grind, like no sleep schedule. You know what I mean? But it didn't matter. And before I did it, Jay, I don't know if I ever told you this. I was thinking about it, and I had a talk with Chief Counsel. You know, I think it was Tech Sergeant Counsel, Staff Sergeant Counsel at the time. And, you know, I was talking about, he said, that will be the greatest move you ever make is go work for him. And I was like, you know, when I heard it from him, I was like, I got to do it. Whatever it takes, all in, you know, all in. And so it was a good learning experience. You taught me so much. It's freaking incredible how much you taught me, not only in the military, but away from the military as well. One of the first NCOs I ever had real-to-real conversation with and felt comfortable to have real-to-real conversations with. Where did that come from, that ability to, you know, I was just a young airman. We were from two different lifestyles, but, you know, we kind of crossed a lot. But you just let me have real conversations.
You know, I do remember, Pete. I remember part of that. I didn't know that Chief had told you that, so I appreciate that, Dana, because that was a dude I looked up to. You know, he probably don't know that, but I looked up to that dude. And there were so many people at that base that I don't know if you realize how many greats we had around us at such a small base. There was, like, we could laundry list so many just great people at that base.
Yep.
But I do remember that. And the funny thing about it is, when you got that job, like, you don't know how much shit I got for pushing you forward, because there was someone else that another senior NCO who you probably know.
Oh yeah.
Wanted their person to get it. Yeah. And I went to our mass sergeant and I said, hey, this is the dude, you know, this is who we want. It's going to be rough. And I knew that because Pete was a knucklehead and had knucklehead tendencies. But
he ain't changed.
Nope, I know it. But there's something else that I could take any day over a knucklehead tendency, and that's grit. You know, that's drive, that's want. I'll take that any day. I can deal with all the bullshit that's going to come with you, but if you're going to really put in work and show that those other things, then I'll deal with that. And that's what we did with Pete. The thing about Pete, when you were younger, you wanted to learn. The problem was you also thought you knew everything. So it was really hard to, you know, teach someone that knew everything, that wanted to learn, but thought they knew everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think we had a great team, and we worked well together. I loved our time together, and it was just a great experience for me, you know.
Yeah,
I think a lot of that stuff came from dudes, you know, those guys I named, because they would have those conversations with me. You know what I'm saying? And I saw that as I appreciated those things. And excuse me, anything that I did ever did was just something that I paid forward from someone that taught me it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really about putting all the stuff you think about yourself aside and putting that person in front of you as number one, right? Because you're not going to affect any kind of change in a thing if they're worried about what you think about they're going to say or what you feel about it. So you got to kind of check yourself, put all your rank and everything else aside and say, let me connect with this person. And that's what I tried to do.
No, it's crazy.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it don't.
Mm. Yeah. We talk about that now. Like it, and we always say it's just now happening, which we all know is not right. But it seemed like it's a lost art. You know what I mean? Like, the latter part of what you said is more more susceptible, right? It's a bigger population that's like, hey, I'm worried about me. You know what I mean? And I know that's just solely my opinion, like P said at the beginning. But they worried about them, right? They're worried about the promotion piece of it. And then you're not connecting with people. You know what I mean? And now you're losing good people because of that.
Yeah, I agree and I disagree, because you know, we're talking about this. You know, and I appreciate all these compliments. I really do. But at the end of the day, that wasn't like a thing I was looking for in the moment of us having an interaction. You know, I wasn't looking for that. Hey, this person needs to walk away and think that we had a great thing. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
At the end of the day, I want you to be an effective defender that's going to defend the base. You know what I'm saying? That's my goal. If you're a jet engine mechanic and you're an NCO, you want that person to be the most effective at that thing. All that other stuff that you're going to do is going to help them be better at that. And our interactions, you know, those connections didn't happen on our first interaction.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it took time. It took stuff that you had to show to me that I could trust you and I could be confident in you and what you were going to either receive or give back through your actions. You know what I mean?
Right.
And those are things that I think really need to be focused on, is that trust and communication, right? At the end of the day, the first thing that we had was a foundation of standards and discipline. And right. Then we built all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people nowadays think, oh, well, I just walked in the door. You're supposed to treat me like you treat such and such. Nah,
right.
You need to earn that shit. Yeah, you need to earn it. You earn that for showing that you're a part of our team. We're not part of your team. You didn't. We didn't come to you and be like, "Hey, can we play with you?" Nah, you came to us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying,
man? It's funny because you're saying these, and I can hear we were in phase one, so I can hear those same exact stories and messages that he was saying to the young airmen coming in training. And I'll tell you, Jay was so raw with it because he didn't put up with no bullshit. Like, nothing slipped past him. Nothing was allowed to go past him. I'm just sitting back like, oh, and I'm waiting for this airman to say something crazy. And I'm just sitting back like, oh, he about to get it. But it was so smooth. And I try to steal that. I'll probably mess it all up when I try to be like somebody I'm not. But you try to steal and try to emulate some of those things. And it was so smooth. But like exactly what you said, there was never an opportunity for me to step out. And if I did and say something out of line or out of pocket, you quickly corrected it. But it quickly went back to, all right, it's done and we're moving on. And I think that's a lost, I don't know if it's a lost art or a secret art that a lot of people haven't mastered or what, but it's very humbling to see somebody can do that. And it's very hurtful when you see somebody that tries to do it and messes it all up, including myself. Yeah.
A lot of people be holding grudges, you know. But yeah, what you're saying, a lot of people be holding grudges.
Yeah, it is a lot of people hold grudges. And I had people hold grudges against me in my life that when I was younger that I learned from that. It did nothing. You know what I mean? Nothing positive came from holding a grudge.
Right.
But it's also a level of respect, right? Because if you have to correct someone on whatever the thing is, and you know that they're genuinely going to take that to heart and you can keep it moving, then it's easier to take that grudge away. But then there's times where you got to keep that in the back of your mind because that person really doesn't give a shit about what you're saying and they're not going to change. You know what I mean? So it is letting it go, but not always letting it go. You know what I'm saying?
Still got to monitor the situation.
Yeah,
for sure.
Let me ask you something, man. Something kind of Big Mike said. And Mike, sorry if I'm still, I'm going to shut up after this, but I have a lot of questions. So when I was young with you, and like Mike said, like people are worried about promotion now. When I was young with you, and I can go down the list, you know, Double D, Dan Davis, and you know, Holloman was over there, or not Holloman, but Otto was over there, and I can't forget I'm forgetting his name, but there's a lot of people over there with us. I'd never heard anything or any bickering about rank. They were all about the same rank. Maybe Double D was a little bit higher, but everybody else was about staffs and about to put on tech. But I never heard any bickering or any one-ups or people not. It seems like we would go down the supply office, we'd throw the football around on, you know, on Fridays on the down day at the end of the day and kind of BS, and it was all NCOs, and I was like the only airman. I was just happy to be in the room. But yeah. I guess my question is, was there any of that going on back then?
There was, but I think it was a lot more subtle and it was a lot more personal. So, for example, you remember Aunt Riley?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. See, me and Aunt go back to DM. We were at DM together. And I remember one thing that we had, I think, when we were younger was we had a healthy peer competition kind of where we checked each other. Because I remember when Aunt Riley first got to DM, he was fresh out of K-9 school. He was an A1C, I think. Maybe a senior airman, and it was his second base, but he was barking all this top dog bullshit and I'm this and I'm that. And, you know, Ant was a big dude, right?
Big dude. My big
and
dude.
I remember he comes up to me at the clearing barrel and says something smart to me. And I just look back at him, you know, and let him know like, hey, you got to prove yourself here. And it was like this mutual respecting. And because Ant was squared away, and he's like, oh, shit, there's people on this flight that are at my level. So I got to show them that we're at the same level and we're going to operate the same. And that stuff carried on to when we were at Yokota. And there'd be times where he would come at me and he'd be like, hey, Jay, man, let me talk to you about. Well, he called me Lil Man because that was my nickname at my first base. There was two dudes at Yokota that called me that, Ant and Travis Harrison. But he'd be like, Lil Man, let me talk to you for a second. These are some things I think you need to do. Or, hey, have you thought about this? And that was the end of the conversation. It was like, hey, I'm going to throw this out there for you to think about. You either do it or you don't, but it's not going to change anything else about us. You know what I'm saying? Well, I think now people have the conversations and they take the stuff personal. Or they think, oh, well, if you're not doing all these things, you're not on my level. And that's not the case. My level,
yeah. The information ain't shared.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So
I would disagree. I'll tell you that. Go ahead, Pete.
I might go off subject. So if I do, just go back to that question or that comment that you had. But so were you guys worried about awards? Were you guys worried about promotion?
I never cared about an award. And to be honest, it's funny. Todd Simmons, I don't know if he knows this. He wrote my first award package, a first award I ever won in the military, and I had no idea. It was when he replaced me in training, and we were in an exercise right before I had PCS, and we were working mid-shift doing EET.
Yeah, I remember that.
I was sitting there, like, he was asking me questions, and I thought he was asking me questions because he was taking my place and taking over training and, like, to know the job. So I thought he was taking notes about the job and he was sitting there writing me a NCO to quarter package.
Yeah.
And I remember when I saw my name come out on that email, I'm like, wait a minute, they got this shit wrong. You know, like, this isn't right, you know. But that wasn't something I ever cared about. And I think there was an unwritten kind of joke about being a wood chaser. Regardless if you wanted the award or not, people would talk trash about you, you know, if you won the award. It wasn't a lot of clapping, but it wasn't something that was discussed the way it is. Like, there's a lot of awards that I had no clue about until years later, because we just didn't talk about those things.
So what did what were the majority of the conversations?
Hey, defending the base.
Wow.
Are you good at this? Like, there were so many things about and just life. I mean, we talk so much life stuff.
True.
We literally would talk about it in the parking lot at the smoke pit. We would get all that bullshit that we was dealing with at home off our chest in that 20 or 30 minute period, you know. But we also we did talk a lot about being better as a unit, you know, like you mentioned Kurt Otto. That was a sharp ass dude, sharp canine handler. Canine handlers today, in my opinion, aren't what canine handlers were when we were at Yakota.
You can say that again.
They're not as sharp. That
was which generation was Peter?
Hey, I just made it.
I didn't know Peter was a canine handler. Yeah,
which side of the cut was he on?
He didn't know me as a canine handler. He didn't know I wanted to go canine.
I seen the dog that Pete trained one time. This dog was walking backwards. Straight up.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, it's a good thing. The dog was lost. He walked away from the bomb he detected.
Wasn't no bomb out there. It was a bone, and he started walking back. he ain't lying, though, bro. I'm going to tell you, I keep telling y'all this. I didn't learn as much as I learned about being a defender until I got to England.
Yep.
I'm be honest with you. And we had, Jay, correct me if I'm wrong, of any of our Bulldogs out there. Bro, our flight was untouchable. Be straight up in that. Like, whenever a DV came, whenever somebody was coming to that base, whenever something special needed to happen, they would no shit make sure Bravo Flight was on shift when this happened. And I guarantee you, one of the probably our weakest link knew more than the middle guy on any other flight.
Yeah, I mean, but that took a lot of hard work. You know,
a whole lot.
That wasn't a
a whole lot.
I mean, we took a lot of effort, a lot of conversations. You probably forgot on purpose because you're like, are we seriously talking about this again?
Hey, I tell you, those conversations, it had that line. It knew that line. I knew this was my bro. I know this was my big bro off duty. You know what I mean? But I knew when we put that uniform on, he said some shit. That's what it was. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd be pissed because it'd be times he said some shit in Garmont. I'd be a B-Doc. I don't want to hear nothing from this. He better come and be hollering at me. Don't come talk to me. Don't ask me what we doing on the break. I don't want to hear none of that shit. But it was what it was. You know what I'm saying? Like, we knew when we had to take care of business, we had to take care of business. Wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, for sure. And we had a lot of NCOs that were the same way. I mean, I never saw any of our NCOs, even the weakest of NCOs, still would execute 85% of the stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's one though that caught me, man. I got my ass chewed. This dude, man. So we break guard mount, and our op super, you know who I'm talking about, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me. He said, "JCH, let's go see how changeover is going." And I said, "Hey, senior, it's going good. I promise you that." And so we go to this little closet that overlooked the parking lot of where all the patrol cars lined up, and like lockstep, you saw them all lined up. There was like 8 cars, trunks popped, hoods popped, and you see one by one, everyone doing what they're supposed to do, exactly what I said in guard mount. And I'll be damned if he gets to the last car and that staff sergeant doesn't do nothing but shut it and be like, "Y'all are good." And he's like, "Oh, so that's how we operate." So he forgot about the other 7 or 8 that did it right. All he cared about was that one that did it wrong.
Yep.
I think we – oh, no, he's back. Oh, no, I think we're going in and out real quick. Yeah. Hey, man, I can't wait till he comes back on, man, because he's had his
and
thing.
So
there he goes. You're going in now. I'm not sure if you can hear us.
I can hear you,
Jay.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish the story.
Did you hear about where we failed as a unit? Because
we hear from the trunk piece. Pop or the
he popped the trunk, you know, closed everything, said, "Oh, you guys are good." Didn't do his checklist or, you know, 1800 shit. And the senior looked at me and was like, "Oh, so you guys just suck." Didn't care about the other seven or eight. He's like, nah, Bravo Flight sucks. And he knew that we didn't suck, but he also knew that I'm holding us to a higher standard, and that's not acceptable, you know?
Yeah.
And
he was on.
You know who it was, Mike.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
It probably Mike Stroop. Yeah, probably Mike Stroop.
He was a staff sergeant. He was booked with staffs.
Oh well, he probably was your troop.
Nah,
still.
My troops. I had one troop that, like Jay said, it did a little bit of work. Hey, but he turned out to be a sharp dude. But my troops was on point, man. They had a little hiccups. Yeah, it wasn't. Well, I had to go down there and talk to Jay about it, you know, a couple times after work, but. Nah, my troops was on point, man. This was another NCO, bro. This wasn't even an air.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jeff, what's funny, though,
he had this troop,
the troop he's talking about. Good dude, man. Phenomenal dude. But he was a lot of work. But fast forward, like, I don't know if I told you this, Mike. Fast forward, like, 2 or 3 years later, I'm at another base, and this airman that's on my flight, I just get to Lakenheath, and this airman that's on my flight, it's like, man, Sar Hallman, you know what? You remind me of this NCO that was my supervisor at OSON. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, who is it? And he tells me the name. He's like, yeah, you're just like him. And I'm like, nah, don't get it twisted. Like this, you got this whole relationship confused here. Yeah. He was a great dude, you know, and that was a lot of what really made me proud was to know all the hard work that a great NCO had put in had turned that dude into a great NCO who was out there doing great things and doing the right thing for, you know, defenders.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Jay, I don't know where it comes from, but I remember sitting in the office and you always come in, whether something was good or bad, and you would always be like, we're S3T. We don't mess up. We're S3T the whole time. I still remember that. And you would get Sakamoto fired up, Mr. Sakamoto fired up, man.
Hey, Sock.
Yeah, Sock was the real one, but it was a real cool environment to be around. And I consider myself blessed for being around you and being able to work inside your office at the time I did. I wish I was a little more mature at the time, but it happens when it happens. But it was still shit that I just don't forget about at all. And I still reminisce. And it was amazing when I met Big Mike. I don't even know how we shared the story about you. I think he brought you up. If it was something going on, he brought you up. I said, oh, you know, Sar Hallman? He said, oh, man, that's my dude. Like, man, that was my supervisor. I said, nah, man, that was my supervisor. And we started exchanging stories. I was like, yo, that's crazy. Like, years apart. But, yeah, it's still crazy that we have the same stories and the same impression of you. And I'm sure there's other people out there that have the same impression of you. I know, like you said, that wasn't your goal to have that, but it just was a thing. My question is, where did all this pride come from for the unit? Is it a self-pride thing that just came out and you put it, compiled it within the unit? Or was it really a unit defender pride that you wanted everybody to have?
No, I mean, I think it started with, at the end of the day, my name's on it. You know what I'm saying? It's got Hallman written on it. And if it's got Hallman on it, then it's going to have something good. And I've always been a firm believer of just, you know, repping your set. What you're a part of, you're a part of that. And if they don't have the pride, then you give them the pride. You make them prideful. And I think, I don't know. That's just something that I've always wanted to do. And I had great examples. You know, I'll tell you, that's what my first squad leader showed me. Our squad, our flight, that was it. You know, those things were just constantly reinforced. And I you know, mimicked that because I felt it inside me.
Yeah. What was the transition? The transition to take that SF patch off and put that first sergeant patch on.
Was something. Yeah. It was good. So, you know, a disclaimer, I didn't want to be a shirt in any way, shape, or form. That wasn't something I ever strived to be. And I was DSD'd at will. I mean, kicking and screaming. I even thought for a second, because when I made senior, I was actually in school when they announced it, you know, when promotions were released. And I thought, man, they're going to pull me back to security forces. And they were like, no, you're already here. So We'll go ahead and keep you. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
I remember those talks when that was going down.
But it was I've always been a firm believer in practicing and prepping and being deliberate about stuff, right? And before I became a shirt, I talked with this dude who was at my base, who had just taken his diamond off. And I asked him for some thoughts and feedback. And I talked to a couple of cops that were shirts at the base I was at and just, hey, what did you do and how did you feel about it? You know, how did you transition? Blah, blah, blah. And I tried to mimic some of that stuff. And what was really hard for me was I went from being a cop to going into a medical unit as a shirt. And you want to talk about night and day.
They wasn't ready.
Man. But I was so lucky because the commander I had in that unit was a Fulbert colonel. Great dude. And this chief I had, great chief. They really just embraced me and they let me be me, you know. And I had to remind myself often, like, this ain't Defenders. But then the day, it was a military organization. So right. There was a lot of times where I would just have to remind them, at the end of the day, we're a military organization. So that stuff is the same no matter where you go. You know what I mean? Because all the same stuff still applies. The UCMJ is still there. That discipline is still there. It's just enforced a little differently.
Right.
Oh, chief.
Yeah, you see Chief Goff on there. I didn't know you knew him, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, we went to shirt school together, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. It's such a small world. But so I know you went to Kadena, right? And you were working for a guest that we had on the show. I think it was, let me make sure I'm right. I think you worked for Colonel Obolowski.
I did, but not at Kadena. So I worked for her at Lake and Heath.
Yeah, okay.
Colonel O. That's my, I call her my OG because I love me some Colonel O.
Yeah.
But we were together at Lake and Heath before I became a shirt. So she's the one that actually pushed me to be a shirt. Yeah. And I wasn't happy about that, but I still love her.
you did your thing though, man. I mean, I know I came up a couple times to Vegas and we just chopping it up, man. And the things you got involved with the squadron, like you was with, we was with CE when I came up there, right? Was you
sure
that?
Yeah. So, you know, I was. And, you know, as much as I didn't want to do it, there's a lot of things that shirts go through that I never would have thought in a million years. Mm-hmm. And I was just surprised at some of the stuff they go through and they deal with. But two, it was really cool to be a part of other units and see such great NCOs in those units, because we'll often look from the outside and judge what units do or what they bring to the table. But we don't even see the half of it. And there are so many great, phenomenal people out there in our Air Force that are pushing and wanting to do the same things positive that you guys are doing. You know what I mean? And that was just a great thing to be a part of. And I loved it when I was in CE. I had two great commanders, a couple of great chiefs that I still talk to this day. That I wouldn't have got that opportunity if I wasn't a shirt. But I had a phenomenal just experience when I was in that unit. And it's such a cool unit to be a part of.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'm going to put you on the spot with this question. I got to know. Tell me one thing about being a defender that you just could not stand. And maybe, you know, on the other end, too, we'll take it on the other end, too. One thing that you really enjoyed about being a defender that was different than any other career field.
Sometimes being a defender, and I understand it, why we do it, but sometimes we bleed to bleed. We do things in such a hard way because of the masses that we're dealing with, you know, whether it be large flights or whatever, we'll bleed to just bleed. But on the flip side, we know how to embrace the suck better than anyone in the Air Force. Yeah. And I think that's such a strength that a lot of our younger defenders don't realize that that is being put into them from having to embrace the suck. And when I say embracing the suck, I don't mean to not focus on taking care of yourself and self-care and all those things or stuffing away your problems. I'm just saying going through hard stuff and coming out okay and coming out on top. I think we do that really well.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. And you know what? Me and Mike got an opportunity to step out of the career field. Mine was about six months to a year. I think Mike was a good year. Step out and he did the D&I thing. And I was up there at FTAC. And you could tell that other squadrons love having defenders around. And we're just being us. I'll be honest. Right. Like, we're just being us. I don't even sense the difference. But they can just sense it. And whether it's the pride, the discipline, they know we're going to show up. They know we're going to show up on time. It doesn't matter if they be like, you know, let's come in at 4 o'clock in the morning. We just be like, all right, let's do it. Or if we got to stay till past 1600, 1700, we just like, whatever. We don't even look at the time. It just is what it is. And I think other units, and like you said, that was put on us so young and it keeps going that we don't even realize it. It could really drive us to the ground fast. But at the other turn, if you can control it, it's such a great, like you said, strength to have and to continue on. And other units really embrace it, really, really embrace it.
Yeah, you do. You recognize the difference. You recognize the difference for sure. I had another buddy of mine. His name is Holloman. He went EO like early in his career from the, and he said the same thing, man. He was like, because he was killing it. Every time I seen him, you know, he was winning. Some of his people was winning. And I asked him how you like it over there. He's like, man, they love this defender stuff, man. You know what I mean? Because it's a little bit different. And not to toot our horn and say like we better than anybody else, but we our own kind. You know what I mean? But we just do things a little different. Like, yeah. I think you go back to those standards we were talking about a couple episodes ago, Pete.
I was going to ask you, did that help you with the first arm or kind of hinder you?
With the standards or being a defender?
Yeah. Being like having that defender mentality and the standards as well, like maybe being too hard. I don't want to say too hard, but how do you hold standards with, I'm going to really go out on a limb here and say people who aren't used to having people really point the finger and hold every standard on them.
I mean, it doesn't change no matter what. A standard is a standard, right? Mm-hmm. So either you enforce it or you don't. Either you call it out or you don't, but you're making a choice. And when you make the choice to not enforce it and hold them accountable to that standard, then you're accepting ownership of that failure of standard, right? Now, the hard part was getting people to see that, hey, they just broke a standard. You know what I mean? And we'll look at something as cops, and maybe this is one of the flaws to a point where we'll hammer someone, so to speak, and I'll say, you know, hammer someone for something that might be overlooked in another unit, or they'll be like, right. Really? You crushed them for that?
Right.
And I would see this when I went to other units, especially when I was in medical. There would be things that I would be like, they are putting someone in danger right now. How do you not see this? And they'd be like, oh no, that's okay. But then it'd be like something else, and they would just want to come off the top rope. And I'm sitting here like, how did you come to this conclusion? You know, like, but that's where I had a great commander and a great chief. And we were able to have those conversations. And they did like it. They appreciated it. They appreciated the perspective. And at the end of the day, just because I said something didn't mean people were going to follow it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had this one dude. He used to drive me nuts. This airman drove me nuts. He broke any kind of rule he possibly could. And every time I would call him out on it. And it got to the point to where I would like have his supervisor and his flight chief coming to see me, which I hated doing because I felt like, why are we even here? You know what the rule is. We've already talked about it. Why are we continuing to do this? And it was funny because the funny part about it was he had gone to another unit, but it was in the same building. So I didn't even realize he had left our unit. And I saw him breaking that same standard. And so I told him, hey, come see me in my office with your supervisor. And he's like, well, I'm not in your unit no more. And I was like, I don't give a fuck what unit you're in. Where's your supervisor at? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We can turn this intuition, no? But what bothered me the most about the whole scenario was this dude was breaking these standards, right? And he came to my office with his supervisor and his shirt, who I was really good friends with. And I told his shirt, hey, this is a problem that we've been having. And this dude is blatantly saying F you. Like, where are we going to draw the line and fix this? Because supervisor isn't doing it. You know, flight chief's not doing it. Where are we going to turn this into a thing? And so they had a conversation and they left. And the other shirt said, hey, Jay, man, why are you harping on this? It's not that serious. Okay, well, what determines the seriousness of this? How do I know he's not going to turn this into something else that's even bigger and break that standard, right?
Right.
It all boils down to discipline. And those were the types of things that were really hard for me my first probably 2 or 3 months, is because no matter what it was, I was going to call it out and we were going to have a conversation about it. You're not necessarily in a negative way all the time, but you wasn't going to walk past me looking stupid and me not help you get right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yo,
I feel like it's a lot of that. It's a lot of that going on. Standards just being, you know, pushed aside. Nobody. What? I mean, I feel like it's a fear, right? I feel like it's a fear and a lack of knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I check this person, am I checking them right? You know, what are they going to go say I said? Or they just don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's, you got to be strong enough inside yourself to say, if I'm wrong, I can say I'm wrong. And I was in it was when I was in CE, man. There was this tech sergeant. He was a HVAC troop, really good dude, right? But you knew he was about to retire and he didn't give a shit. He wanted to take care of his people, do his job, earn his paycheck and go home, right? And so we were doing this kind of like a Defender Challenge event, but it was kind of CE related, you know? And he was out wearing this jacket and it was an OCP coat, but he was wearing ABUs. And I said, hey, Tech Sergeant, you sure that's authorized? And he said, it sure is. And I said, all right, I'll tell you what, how about you show me where it's authorized and we'll be good to go, you know? And you could tell he felt some kind of way about me, you know, bringing this up. But that sucker brought me to AFI with the expert in the change letter. And I said, you know what, man? I really appreciate you squaring me away, because now I'm squared away. Because we can't be 100% on every single thing all the time. But we can't be afraid to ask the question.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think? I know you haven't been retired too long, but what do you think is lacking in supervisors nowadays that maybe they need to learn from or take from maybe the older days, or when you were, you know, a supervisor? First line, we're talking about first line supervisors now.
Holding people accountable. You know, Mike, when we were on flight together, I don't know if you remember this, but I made the staff sergeants do staff sergeant stuff, right? Y'all check their bags, you check their gear. Like, you had those direct conversations with them every single day.
Yep.
And a lot of NCOs, frontline supervisors, are afraid to have those basic standard conversations before they have anything else, because they're afraid, well, if I, you know, act military, then you can't see me as a person and have that person conversation. Well, that's not true. But what brought us together was this military thing. This uniform is what brought us together. So let's start there and then peel that onion back.
Yeah.
And knowing it's okay that they're not your friends. You know, Mike and I were lucky enough to forge a great friendship and a brotherhood, but not everyone got that. You know what I'm saying? Not everyone got the other side of our relationship, because they couldn't handle that. You know, they couldn't handle both sides of that thing. Where a lot of frontline supervisors think, well, we got to be friends. And you'll see this a lot of times in other career fields where they're so buddy-buddy that they can't hold that person accountable.
Yeah.
Military comes first. Everything else is going to come after that.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to breed that way too, as far as people not holding people accountable because they want to be friends. And you have another Broncos fan, which I didn't know there's two of y'all, but I guess there is.
I think that's my son talking about.
Oh, it is. It sure was, bro. I'm so sorry. It sure was.
He ain't even no Broncos fan. He ain't no Broncos fan.
Well, I guess how you know?
He my dad.
He could have changed up.
About to go off on you, man.
He might be. You forgot we live. He could be a Russell Wilson fan, man. Let him live.
Whatever.
So supervisors lacking a backbone and senior COs not giving that top cover or letting it be known that the cover that they're covered to do NCO work. What do you think about? I like that, Amanza. I really do. And what do you, because I think that's what it's experiencing now is a lot of people don't know. Like, I always knew you had my back. Even if I was wrong, you would have my back against other people and then fuck me up in a mess disciplinary way. Yeah, later on. But right. I never, even if I was running late and the dang, you know, Chief, I think it was Chief O'Neill was there. Chief O'Neill would come in. I know you would have my back. And you might not make an excuse for me, but you know, basically everybody knew you would take care of it. How is that? How do you do that? That's the best thing I can say. How do you instill that?
It's trust. You got to build trust. NCOs got to build trust with their senior NCOs. Senior NCOs got to build trust with their NCOs. And it goes to that. I'll take everything back to discipline. Because when you have discipline, everything else falls into place. You know, I started reading, thanks to Colonel O, she got me reading books. In 2017, man, she got me reading books. And I've read a lot of books in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years on just stuff, military and communication and relationships. And a lot of those things come down to foundational stuff. And if you don't build those foundational things, you're never going to have that trust. If you don't build that discipline, you're not going to have that trust. But it is also putting your pride aside and saying, you know what? I can take one on the chin for someone else. You know what I'm saying? I can take this blow for them. That's okay. Yeah. And I had great NCOs do that for me when I was young. You know, I told you about Sean Feasel. Sean Feasel had to take a couple punches for little man Jason Hallman. You know what I'm saying? I was doing some dumb shit when I shouldn't have been doing dumb shit. Right, and, yeah. You know,
do that? I'm sorry. How do you do that without telling that person? Because it's not like you ever sat me down like, Pete, I got your back. I don't think that ever happened. And Mike, you probably attest the same thing. I don't think you probably ever sat you down and was like, Big Mike, I got your back.
Like, it's just action. I mean, for me to answer that was action. You know what I mean? I watched them plenty of times when we jacked up stuff, go in the senior's office, right? Come back out. He defended us, you know what I'm saying? But he come back out and let us know straight up, hey, we got called out for this. We're going to make some adjustments. We get back to the table, you know, and then we execute. It was just watching, you know what I mean? We just saw who he was, how he operated. And I'm talking about from NCO all the way down to airman level. I'm surprised a lot of them not on here right now watching, bro, but it's so many of our airmen that's out, you know, that got out. You know, some of them still in. Bro, I had to go to war for this dude. You know what I'm saying? Straight up, to go to war for him. But it was just taught. That's what it was. I remember being down in Suda Bay. Remember being down in Suda Bay, and we got there, bro, talking about standards and discipline. We got there. The team before us, you know my favorite word from now on, my new word for the next season, Pete, is trash. The team before us, trash. Period. Point blank. Bro, they ain't have an ECP established. Bro, it was crazy. Period. I'm going to tell you how bad it was. We show up to Suda Bay. The dude that showed up to meet Jay, that's supposed to be the team leader, showed up in flip-flops in the Hawaiian shirt on the duty day.
Damn.
Bro, this is how you catch the inbound team?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we literally had to establish those standards for everybody that operated on that airfield in our area. We established it. And they didn't like it. I mean, from the, what, was it Full Bird? Mm-hmm. Full Bird down there, like, look, this ain't how we was having to do this. Like, we going to need y'all to adjust. Nah, this ain't, we got standards that we need to set. This airfield need to be set up a certain way, and ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But he went to bat for us with that. You know what I mean? Like, he could have backed down and like, okay, yeah, don't make them go through the ECP. Nah, they need to go through this ECP. That's just that. And at that time, I don't think you even had your root top on yet. I think you was Master Sergeant Select, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that, you know, that was one of those things though where you gotta go to with what's the standard in writing, right? You go to that boss. Because at the end of the day, you gotta protect your boss. Your goal is to protect your boss. You say, right. Look, boss, this is what it says. You're the shot caller. You tell me what the shot is, and I'm gonna go with what you say. Yeah. But I'm not going to make that decision because that's not my decision to make. And I'm going to enforce whatever it is that you want me to do. And that goes to, you know, when you build that trust with your NCOs and your leaders, because you got to build that trust with your leaders. They got to have the confidence that you're taking care of business. Are you doing it with your own personal agenda? Are you doing it with the mindset that I'm protecting them with whatever that standard is? Because they're not there watching you do your job, but they're putting a lot of trust and expectation on you to do that thing, you know, whatever that thing is. But you're right. And there was a lot of conversations, you know, that you guys didn't have where I had to go in with these senior NCOs on the Navy side. I had to go to the base commander for one of our airmen who jacked a dude up for breaking bread. And they didn't like that. They was mad. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell that commander, look, sir, you tell me where the threat is, because I don't know. Everyone out here is a threat. So if you can put a pink shirt on the threats, then cool. You know, you tell me what you want. Yeah. But, you know, and Mike, I don't know if you remember this, because Suda Bay was easy. That was easy, right?
Yep.
That was cupcake, cakewalk tour or whatever. But we didn't treat it that way. When we went out on post checks, do you remember walking the flight line? Mm-hmm. We walked the flight line every morning.
Every morning.
We would check our dev space. We would talk with the troops out on post. You know what I'm saying? We talk about a COCA. What's your COCA right now? where's your threat?
If a threat came
from Met TC, can you identify a threat right now from right over now. In that area? You know, like, and all that did was, one, we weren't bored, right? Because that could have been a boring ass place. We wasn't bored. We was reinforcing the importance of their job, and we was holding a standard with them. And it was, I thought it was fun. I liked it.
It was. I did. I had a good time, man.
They probably didn't like it, but I liked it.
Hey, I had a good time, man. I had a good time. It made the time go by, even though we didn't want to leave, but it made the time go by.
For sure.
And you could tell they learned something. Like that TDY solidified our bond, because that's the first time we ever worked together. And a lot of the airmen, like, I think that TDY there is what formed our family away from family from when we got back. We had some hiccups when we first got there.
Yeah,
first night, curfew violations, you know, but they knew what it was, though. They knew what it was after that, you know, and they
paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
They paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the thing, right? You got to be, I was prepared to take the fall for them paying for that thing, you know? And you got to be prepared as that NCO or that senior NCO. Are you ready to take the fall for your airmen? Because you know they're going to do right.
Right.
I think that's the key. A lot of people are so concerned with looking good, they don't want to do anything that's going to make them look bad. And they are just so hung on to have to be perfect every day, because that's what they think leadership expects, and that's what they think, you know, we as senior NCOs expect, and that's what they think the commander expects, that we're perfect every day, and they don't want to be
breeding that. I think we start breeding that, and like, you tell me if you correct me if I'm wrong. Like, we started making it a one mistake. You know what I mean? Like, you cannot have a blemish or it's over for you, right? Or somebody make a mistake, or they do something they know is wrong, right? You break them down, you build them back up, you give them another chance. Now, what they decide to do with that chance is on them. We started making, some people started making, once somebody, they got a blemish, now we holding them down. You don't want them to apply for a job anymore. When they do put in for the job, they're trying to come back up, you hiding their resume. And that kind of, we breed in that. You know what I'm saying? We got to get back to giving people second chance.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess, so for, because people have been saying that shit for years. That ain't a new thing. They've been saying that since I was an airman. And you probably wouldn't know this unless I told you, but did you know I got an ARC 15 when I was an airman?
Yeah, you told me.
No. I got in a lot of trouble when I was an airman. Yeah, and I was held accountable hard. And I wasn't given anything right back. You know, I had to earn that stuff back. But my point is, we've been saying that for years. Oh, it's a one mistake Air Force. 20 years ago, they were saying that shit. That's not true. It's not. It's a one mistake Air Force. You get held accountable for whatever it is that you did wrong, right? Mm-hmm. But we also got to look at, if you did something wrong, that doesn't define you for life. But you got to prove your worth and your value to whatever is that thing that you did wrong. You got to show that, no, that isn't right. And the answer isn't automatically putting them, that person that did wrong and got in trouble on a pedestal. And I saw that in one of the units I was in as a shirt. You know, dudes will get in trouble, and then all of a sudden they're putting this person to be the MC of something. And or, oh, we're going to put him, we want to put him up for this special thing. Hey, 3 weeks ago, they were in the commander's office for doing this thing. That's not an everyday instance where you go see the commander in your blues. You had to really F up to do that. So it's going to take some time to show for that person. And nowadays, people really don't want to take that time. A lot of times they think, oh, well, we got to hurry up and erase this. No, time's going to erase that. And you got to show that through consistent actions on your on that person. But on the flip side, we can't hold it against them forever. And I saw that a few times, especially in stateside units where people will be in a place for so long, they will sit there and be like, oh, well, back in 2018, they did this. Bro, it's 2022.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I had more hair on my head in 2018. I was a few pounds lighter in 2018. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
But you need those people like you that will say that, because I think it's a human nature thing to, you know, talk about people's past, whether good or bad. And as we harp on the good that people will talk about, as we've done with you today, talk about all the good stuff, people will have something bad and will harp on that as well. It's like, man, that was 10 years ago. That's 15 years ago. So you need people like you to be like, okay, I get it, but let's get back to reality. You know, let's get back to the present. And what is it, you know, that person is, you know, either A, trying to move on, and we need to kind of let them get out their box and see where they go with it. Like, we can't just hold them in the box forever. And a lot of people won't even speak up on it. Be like, yeah, you got in trouble in it, 2018. Like, yep, okay, can't put him up for an award. It's like, God bless. Like, how long are we going to hold this person down for? Shout out Mike Pendleton being in the building. This is not a, I clicked on the wrong one. This is not a retirement podcast. But yeah, we appreciate you being in the building. I miss you, big dog, man. I hope everything's going well. I'm not sure if you remember him, Jay, but Pendleton was that dude, man, back in the day. Good senior airman that I looked up to when I was a little airman. But Triple Nickel Club, I'm not a part of that one, but I should be. I'm not part of it. I hope it would be a privilege to serve Air Force. Yeah. But, man, I appreciate it. Hey, I don't know. I mean, we could probably talk forever. We might have to do probably a part two for real if we could. We
might, yeah, because the stories ain't even get the chance to come out.
Yeah. I know we go on for this forever, man, but Jay, I don't even know what to say, man. I really do, A, appreciate you for being on here. I appreciate you for coming on here and sharing stories and stuff like that and telling everybody and being humble enough to come on here. And thank you for letting us, you know, as Big Mike was saying, I'm going to share steal his saying, is spread some flowers for you. Because you definitely deserve it in my book. In my chapter of Dominic Peterson's life, man, you definitely deserve it. You'll definitely have my retirement ceremony speech ready with your name on it somewhere, definitely. So, hey, for life, I appreciate you. I love you.
I love you, man. I appreciate that. You know, everything that we did and we went through, and this is something I think NCOs could take away, is learning from your airmen. You know, Pete, there were things that you taught me that you didn't realize you taught me. You taught me patience. You gave me patience. You know what I'm saying? Because I could see those good things in you, but there were some negative things that were overweighing those good things. And it was like, man, I got to be patient with this dude. And if I didn't have you there, I wouldn't have learned that for some of the other airmen that I had at my next base, you know. But what on the flip side of that, where there may have been a small negative thing, like speeding on your motorcycle.
Oh, damn.
The West Loop on Dakota.
Oh, damn. I didn't know you knew that.
Pete's going to drive around the West Loop at 80 miles an hour. Ain't no speed limit on Dakota more than 30 clicks. And Pete's at 80 miles an hour.
At 80.
Come on, no, that wasn't me.
On a bike. He's the only one on base with that bike.
Hey. Damn. Oh,
my God. My point is, I had to see, and I saw it in you, constantly, growth, right? I saw growth. Yeah, you took one step back for something silly and something stupid, but you took three steps forward on feedback and wanting to do right and wanting to do good and wanting to be better. And that's what a lot of these things boil down to. Yeah, you're going to get hit, but are you getting back up? And are you moving forward? And you did that so much. And I often would look at some of these other dudes when I was, you know, at other bases and be like, man, but they're knuckle. There'd be something that would remind me of you. And then I would see, but they're not executing to move forward. They're just expecting me to take them forward. No, you got to be the one to walk forward. And you did right. that. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Big Mike, what you got?
Stuff, man. You already know where I'm at, bro, man. We chop it up at least about 4 or 5 times a week through Messenger or text or something like that. But you know where I'm at with it, man. You know the impact you had on my career, my life, right? And teaching me how to be an NCO, teaching me what a CNCO should look like, and ultimately preparing me for where I'm at now. So you already know my hats off to you always, man. Whenever you need me, you know where I'm at. You know, I fly across the world for you. You know, got the chance to watch you walk out the Air Force door, transition into, you know, the retirement world, man. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I appreciate you allowing me in your family, you know what I'm saying, and having a relationship with the kids. Definitely respect you 100%, man. So you already know where I'm at with it.
Hey, man, you know it's all love, man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate what you guys are doing, and I listen to every episode. If it's not a live watch, I always listen to it while I'm doing dishes or driving to work or whatever. And I just really enjoy the conversations you have. I know so many people say it. I really enjoy how you bring other people in from other career fields and show the consistency in leadership, because that's what a lot of this stuff is. It's just being consistent, and no matter, there's no magic formula to it. It's all a lot of very simple stuff, and you constantly hear such similar messages from such great people, and it's a big deal. And the effort that you guys are taking time out of your day in the middle of the night, you know what I'm saying, like, it doesn't go unnoticed, and I really appreciate that, and I respect it a whole lot. And if there's anything I can ever do for you guys, you already know I got your back.
Yeah, appreciate. We definitely need to get you back on the show. But I'm glad that me and Mike, you know, do this show. And it's a blessing to have you be a part of our lives and it all coming around full circle. And everything that we talk about is stuff that we learn from you and stuff that we learn from all our, you know, supervisors, both good and bad. But these are all messages that we just keep trying to pass on because we know the importance of it. And I know the importance of what you did and when you did it for me, where I was at, because I wouldn't be here where I'm at now if it wasn't for that. So that's what I'm saying. We just keep trying to pass it forward. And I'm glad that you in both of our lives, because it really helps out with the stories and the likeness of what you've been talking about. And, you know, crazy Sarah Hallman, man, he's about to fly off the handle on somebody, or, you know, it's cool to hear the stories. It's really, really dope. And it never lets the old times get old. It always keeps them fresh. And you know, I really appreciate that. But yeah, like I said, if you ever, or like Mike said, you ever need anything from any of us, it's a phone call and consider it done. You definitely consider it done, brother. And it definitely be done.
Yeah, let's hurry up and get out, because he already said what he learned from you. I don't need nobody to know what he learned from you.
Not a damn thing.
You got to hurry up and cut this off.
Hey, man. He didn't mess no words up today.
Oh yeah, I got the pole. I got the guard mount out the way beforehand. Don't mess this up. So I was good. I was ready. I was keeping that in the back of my head, like my security force general orders. Like, I was ready.
Hey,
to go.
That's okay. It, man. Hey, I still can't. Hey, I don't get me excited and fired up and start telling you my general orders. You know I know.
Yeah. Please don't, man. Please don't. Hey, good shit, man. Y'all already know who it is, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, I appreciate it, man. Y'all know who it is, man. We out of here. I love y'all. All right. Peace.
Peace.